Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I'm so glad you're here. If you find this empowers you to take back control of your health instead of relying on the system in any way, please share this with three of your friends. Invite them to come join us. Are you ready? Let's dive inside. All right, welcome, ladies and gents. We're going to talk about navigating the supplement industry today because it is a multi-billion dollar industry and it's just getting worse because we're having to transition from a pharmaceutical type realm to a supplement realm, especially in America. And the FDA does not regulate supplements. So how do you know what you're getting is good or bad? I have with us today Mike Reese. He is an expert in the supplement industry, meaning he knows a lot of what goes on behind scenes, behind doors. So he's going to walk us through his experience and how to navigate the supplement industry when it comes to quality, production, contamination, all that sort of stuff. This is not going to be something that I'm going to discuss treatments or diagnoses using supplements with. We're just going to get to the nitty-gritty about how things are processed, what all that is, what goes on behind scenes at supplement industries. Because like I said, it is a multi-billion dollar industry and we need to know how to navigate it and make sure we're getting the right stuff for our money. And the reason why I thought about this topic was I grew up, I never took a supplement in my life. I don't know if you know this, Mike, but I didn't take a supplement until I was probably, I graduated from my undergrad. So I was at least 22 years old before I ever took a supplement. And I started working for a chiropractor who introduced me to functional medicine. And I had these crazy acid reflux. Like I dealt with acid reflux my whole life. At one point I was on 9 different medications. I had to have my throat scoped 3 times. And so I just was talking to him about it one day and he was like, well, you're taking a PPI, which is standard omeprazole. He said, what if you get off your PPI and you try taking hydrochloric acid? And he gave me the supplement off his shelf. What the heck? I didn't have anything to lose. So I tried it. And 10 years later, I've never had a problem with heartburn and I'm not on any medications and that thing's resolved. So it gave me a new insight into supplements in the supplement industry. But then I started practicing, and this was all brand new to me. I remember a patient walking in to when I had an office. She walked in and she literally had a duffel bag, a large duffel bag. She stuck it on my desk, and inside that duffel bag was, I don't know, $2,000-$4,000 worth of supplements that she had taken or someone had told her to take somewhere along the lines. And I was blown away. I was like, are you really taking all this stuff? And she's like, yeah, I take this for this and this for that. And this was like her whole entire day was scheduled out in taking these supplements. And yet she still found herself sitting in my office, still tired, still fatigued, still had no energy, still on thyroid medication. Like all this was still going on, but yet she had hordes of supplements. She's not the only one either. I've seen people with boxes and boxes and boxes of supplements. I've walked into houses where a good chunk of their counter is supplements. So a lot of people, they're reaching for stuff because they've lost hope and they've lost trust and faith in what's the Western medicine world. So how do we navigate this? How do we determine what's good, what's bad? I use supplements as a heal basis. I keep it to about 4 to 5 things a month, and I really use good stuff to get me there. So I don't want to hand a patient over 10 things and say, hey, take this all day long. I've seen biomeridian feedback machines load people up with supplements and they're just like, oh, well, you have low magnesium. Here's this. You have low this. Here's that. I mean, you might have low whatever, but is it really treating you? Is it really going to help you conquer your symptoms? Another story, one lady, she'd come in. I've known her for 20 some odd years. She's always had major health concerns, including Lyme disease at one point. And she brought me her schedule of supplements, and it was 3 pages back to back from the moment she woke up to the moment she fell asleep and went to bed. It was like, take these 4 things in the morning, then 2 hours later, take this 6 stuff, and then at lunchtime, take this. I mean, literally her entire day was scheduled out on this piece of paper, on a couple pieces of paper. And I know her husband really well, and her husband thinks it's all quackery. And I'm like, well, no duh. Because here she is taking all of this stuff, and it's not helping her get that better life that she's wanting. It's just stuff that someone has told her to take somewhere along the line, and she's stuck with it. So, Mike, let's navigate this supplement industry for everybody, because it is a hot mess, and there is a lot of availability of. I mean, you can talk MLMs, you can talk essential oils, you can talk Amazon, you can talk, I mean, there's a whole host of things. So let's decipher what goes on behind doors.
It has always been referred to as the next $1 trillion industry. Like you said, multi-billion dollar industry. So there's a ton of brands there, and it's a blessing and a curse, because there's a lot of liberty for startup to be supplements and to create a really good product. It's a tremendous opportunity. And you and I both know there are, you know, there's actually, or we have colleagues that had started a company within the last 2-3 years, and they've done very well with that. And they've helped a lot of people. And their company was founded on quality. So, but then there's exceptions to that. Now, fortunately, there are some common standards that you want to look for in a company. And I'll just mention some of those just to get started here. Good manufacturing practices is something that you want to get familiar with. It's also known as GMP, but you want it to be CGMP, current good manufacturing practices, which means that the entire warehouse facility, all the machines that are used in production, as well as the testing, the QC, the quality control, and the quality assurance, everything is like passed off and it reaches these strict standards. So you can trust that the entire operation is good and the ingredients there can be trusted and that they're maintaining their potency and it's not just a bunch of garbage, right?
Now, so I've never heard of CGMP. Is that something that they can find on a label?
CGMP is something that should be listed on the website. They can always call the company and ask them if they're CGMP. If a representative is unfamiliar with that term, somehow to get in touch with one of the executives or a scientist or somebody who's affiliated with the company, good manufacturing practices is something that is paramount. And so that helps stand out. Now, there are MLMs that are more of multi-level marketing companies that are marketing arms, but they'll rely on this contract manufacturer to be CGMP that provides them with, that does like all the fulfillment work for them. So I'll just give you a little bit of my background and then I can go over a little bit more of, I think, not only what some of the standards are or what some of the benchmarks are, but how do you go above and beyond the benchmarks that are out there? How do you be like at the leading edge? I fortunately, with enough exposure in the industry over the last 17, 18 years, I have been able to see a lot in the supplements industry and see really what it means to be standard, be good, be trusted. But what does it mean to go a couple notches up above that to find the right companies and the right places that actually do that?
That's so, why I'm talking to you right now.
And so my dad really is who got me started in the supplements industry. So I was exposed to it in my youth. I would have had a similar story to you if it wasn't for my dad. But because his packaging business led into doing work for like Nu Skin and other companies, Nature's Sunshine products, and some of these other companies that were good at their marketing, but my dad did fulfillment work for them. And so when I was like 13 years old, my friends wanted to play. I was in the warehouse working for my dad doing odd jobs. And we were so busy that there were some nights we wouldn't get back until like 11 or midnight. And And so it was good, like a wake-up call for me at that age to kind of see what went on behind the scenes. And he, so anyway, machines back then to kind of put pills in packets or put them in bottles and label them and stuff, they weren't as high-tech in the early 90s like they are today. But it helped me be able to see that it was really important for my dad to prioritize quality, prioritize the standards that he was going to help these companies put out a really good product. And so, and it gave me exposure to that. And I just took a big interest in my youth into health and how it impacts the body, exercise and fitness, but also food. And, but then I realized that food or dietary practices and exercise were incomplete without supplements in today's world. It's kind of hard to reach a full 100% without the right products to help you with what you're in need of.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. Let me bring this up real quick. My bachelor's degree is in nutrition. And I remember getting asked all the time in undergrad down in Southern Utah, hey, do I need supplements to add nutrients to my body or can I just get it all from food? My answer always was, it can come from food. I was indoctrinated that dairy has lots of calcium and lots of good stuff. And then I got introduced to the functional medicine world and I had to completely change the way I thought about food and the way I thought about the supplement industry. Because it wasn't like, everybody needs to take a multivitamin. I'm not cool with that. But taking stuff to really narrow and improve your health, yes. Whereas I was of the mindset that no, we could just get everything we needed from our food.
If we could, that'd be wonderful. And in many cases, you should try. I mean, as far as if you could upgrade your diet and if you could eat a certain way to where you optimize what you're putting into your body as far as food choices go, the merrier. You're going to be leaps and bounds ahead than the average person, but that's hard to do. And supplements have their point. And I think what I've come to learn is that natural products from a good manufacturer and formulas are to help you bridge that gap, really, from a therapeutic standpoint, and then also just from a preventative standpoint. So you could, in addition to your diet, you can take certain products, a very simple regimen, to where when the flu season comes around, you may notice those symptoms from a common cold, but your body is more capable of keeping those at bay. You're still going to be human. Supplements aren't going to make you superhuman, but at the same time, they could help you with prevention to where when the common winter blues come around, maybe you don't experience them as much this year when the days are shorter because of how you've taken care of yourself nutritionally. And it's hard to do that with diet alone. It really is. And so there are those products, but not only products, there's formulas. And I've been able to hook up with a manufacturer here locally in the Ogden area for the last 6 years where they're all about formulas. And so your body receives more benefits by this synergistic approach of multiple ingredients in one product. And it's a great way to go to help as a preventative, as well as for those who need to go through a cleanse or a detox. There's great remedies. There's good formulas that way. But anyway, I think back to your original question, as far as quality standards and everything goes, not only do you want companies to be good manufacturing practices, but there's other standards that companies could invest in. And that is entailed, or that's found in their lab. So not only is there good manufacturing practices, but there should also be good lab practices. So you can call those GLPs. And good lab practices would mean that when a company orders raw ingredients, so you're getting them from the plant-based sources, and mind you, not all ingredients are plant-based. I realize that there are vegans that want to do everything vegan, and that's understandable. However, there are things like vitamin D3, and there are things like other compounds where although they're animal-based, they're still very good and very easy to assimilate by the body, very therapeutic. But nonetheless, when a company or the lab receives an ingredient, they bring it in, they want to test that. It's important to actually go through appropriate testing for every ingredient, every vitamin, mineral, herb, amino acid, whatever it is that they're going to put in their products. They want to test that ingredient thoroughly. What are they testing it for? Well, they want to make sure that it's clean, number one. Make sure that it's free from, or the way they do it is they make sure that it's less than so many parts per million. So they'll go down a series of like pathogens, heavy metals. So there's a variety of heavy metals. There's also pathogens like bacterias, E. coli, fungal, viral, other potential contaminants that could be found in ingredients out there. But when you do this testing in a lab, you can verify that it's less than so many parts per million in that ingredient, and you can determine that ingredient's clean. You want to make sure that you do that. And then and then if the company puts together a product that has that ingredient and they combine it with other ingredients. So they put it through a blender and they create a powder and it now has 10 different ingredients, vitamins, minerals, herbs, amino acids, activated charcoal, whatever it is, then you now have this product. You want to go test it again. So let's say it now has 10, 15, 20 ingredients, this formula. You want to go ahead and test it again and still make sure that it comes up clean and that it's found to be, you know, basically free of those contaminants. Once you've blended that product or once you've encapsulated it, you retest it, make sure it's free from those contaminants, and then you put it in the bottle and then you can, the same thing goes with liquids too. But once you've gone through that appropriate testing in the lab to make sure it's free from those contaminants, then it's deemed as being safe. And then what you have is a certificate of analysis for a product. And you can rely on that certificate of analysis that verifies that that product is clean, it's trusted, it's safe. And furthermore, there's a guaranteed potency. So if you want to look at a bottle and say, okay, the amount of, I'm looking for this many milligrams of this ingredient that I want to get. I want to get 200, I want to get 300 milligrams of magnesium in this product because that's what I'm supposed to get or whatever. Can I trust that that's how much is in there? Is there a guaranteed potency capsule per capsule? Can I really trust this product? Well, the testing in a lab, the good lab practices can give you that rest assurance that what you're getting in the bottle is trusted and that those ratios are guaranteed. And in most cases, those products are good to be, they're safe on your shelf for up to 4 years. Granted, if you buy a supplement, you'd want to take it sooner than that. But that just gives you that rest assurance that there's quality, it can be trusted, the potency is guaranteed for up to 4 years. So for most ingredients anyway.
But, so right now, you currently work for Systemic Formulas, which is what the most products I use come from you guys. But I know you've worked from other people. So when it comes to this lab practices, how common is it to have those high standards?
Uncommon. To have it at this level, I mean, we have USANA Health Sciences, and we have universities, and we have other companies that actually come visit our warehouse. They see our production standards and they see our lab because they're interested, especially our lab. Now, our lab is owned by Dr. Shane Morris. It's owned by Nutribiome. So it is actually a third-party company entity that runs the lab. And so he's invested out of his own pocket basically hundreds of thousands of dollars in these equipment, these Ferraris of lab equipment to test products that come in and go out. And so that's really, there's a tremendous investment that goes into this kind of testing in a lab. And he's been able to do that with Nutribiome. I mean, we're talking between $750,000 and $1 million in just equipment that tests this and that undergoes that. So we definitely...
Just so everybody knows, Dr. Shane is the one that formulates the supplements in most cases, most supplements for systemic, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he does. So Dr. Shane has, systemic formulas has been around since the early 1980s. Dr. Morris came on board in 2006. And so he's been with this company for the last 14 years. And he's brought to the company a lot of new formulations, which if they get familiarized with the products that you, that I've seen you carry for the most part, their formulas he's brought to fruition over the last 5 to 10 years for cellular healing to help with downgrading inflammation, good omega fatty acid options, other gut healing options, stuff that helps with leaky gut, stuff that helps with SIBO, the neurological, the brain gut connection. A lot of that is stuff that Shane formulated. He was the master formulator of, and he was able to put together the right ratios of ingredients to make the product therapeutic, because he deemed that those ingredient amounts is what was shown in clinical studies to help somebody with those conditions.
Nice. Now, you know, I know you work for other companies. Have you seen labs like this one?
No, I haven't. And there's labs and there's good companies out there with, you know, a team of scientists. There's between US and Canada, Europe, Australia, and they have standards. There's other standards to be met, but this lab is definitely one of a kind in Utah, at least. You won't find anything else like it in the state.
Yeah. So when it comes to quality, when you talk about this certificate of analysis for a product, can they find like that certificate on their website? Where can they, if they're going to determine who's got that great lab, how can they find it?
So Nutribiome is another way to find it. hyphen biome, BIOME. And they can go on to that Nutribiome.com and they'll explain what that standard is. On the Systemic Formulas website, I know that we could probably do a better job showcasing that up front. So that it's, but I, as the clinical director at Systemic, I have access to each of the certificates of analysis if you needed those or if patients needed to take a look at that. If they're taking Bind or if they're taking G-Cell or L-Gut or some of these different products and they wanted to have the certificate of analysis, I could email those to you or to them directly.
Well, I'm just thinking whether it's Systemic or not, like if they're going to other companies, can they find this certificate through at other companies?
They might be able to do that. But I think that it would be, if they can't find it anywhere on the website as the patient, they could find out through their practitioner, through you, or you could find out, or they could find out from the right people at that company, if that is their practice, whether or not they do have certificates of analysis for every product. It's also known as C of A.
And how common are those?
It depends. I think more and more people understand that if they're going to compete at the level that they want to, it's going to be essential. It's going to be required. But it's been uncommon at this level because it hasn't been required for them to get a product off the ground and to sell it. To market something and to promote a new idea to get people to buy it doesn't require certificates of analysis.
No. It doesn't. I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah, wish. Yeah. There's, yeah, like you said, there's so much out there. And I know there's one specific company, it starts with an M, but I cannot think of it. They are, like what they do is they do private labeling for doctors. So whether you're getting like Dr. Christopher's or Dr. Mercola's or Dr. Hyman's or whatever doctor, it's still all the same stuff. They've just gone through this company to private label things. So that makes the supplement industry even harder to navigate when you've got all of these private labels, but in reality, it's just all the same stuff coming from one company who's just said, hey, come use our stuff and then we'll put your name on the bottle.
Yeah, I can see from the perspective of, you know, the person who's carrying the product. And I mean, for anyone, it's you definitely want integrity in what you're, the company that's manufacturing, that's representing the products that you're taking. You definitely want integrity for sure. And as the individual who's retailing those products, you definitely want exclusivity. And I think that's why people want private labeling, or they want to have their own face on the label, but at the same want to know, you want that rest assurance. Okay, let's say you buy something that's private label. Let's say, Dr. Kylie, you have your face on a label. They're going to definitely still want to be able to know, okay, how can I trust this product? Where is this originating from? Where does this come from? So,
yeah, cool. So we've covered like a little bit of the process behind production when it comes to quality and purity, the whole lab practice thing, which I didn't even know existed till just barely. So I'm learning something new too. Good. And then you've talked about what's on the label. Is that what you're truly getting? So that would be back to those standards. And thinking more specifically, you talked about magnesium and making sure that if it says 200 milligrams of magnesium, there really is 200 milligrams of magnesium. The one that you have the biggest problem with that I see from not only from a physician standpoint, but from a patient standpoint, are probiotics. The count of probiotics is seen everywhere from 1.75 to, I know what I carry on my shelf from you guys is 100 billion. Hmm. And I don't know the complete process, but I was told that you put so much more than 100 billion in that product that by the time someone actually gets it, they're guaranteed to have that much, if not more than 100 billion. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. So MBC stands for microbiome colonizer.
I didn't know that either. I just know it as MBC.
Well, that's all you needed to know. So microbiome colonizer has over 100 billion colonizing forming units, CFUs, per capsule by the time it's really in your hand. I mean, by the time it's manufactured. But we state in the bottle that that's serving size is 2 capsules, which gives you 100 billion CFU. People get concerned in July and August. We're shipping it across the country in a hot UPS truck, and we're shipping it via ground from Utah to New York. It takes 5 business days to get there. And let's say it goes over the weekend. And so they're thinking, okay, where is this hanging out over Saturday and Sunday when there's no transit going on? MBC's just sitting in this hot box. What's happening? And I think for those reasons, we definitely wanted to guarantee that it's far more important and potent than we say it is in the bottle. Now, with that being said, Dr. Morris has rest assured me and other practitioners that even probiotics are meant to withstand those temperatures for those periods. It's not going to destroy the product. But granted, if you have like MBC, if you have a probiotic in a hot car all day in July with the window shut, then yeah, I would be concerned. It's going to start deteriorate, or start to lower in count. But within a UPS truck, and if it has to be shipped 5 business days, it should be okay. But we've tested it. We tested in the lab the MBC when it was a year old. It had stayed in room temperature, so in between like 65 and 75 degrees year round in a dry, cool place. It wasn't refrigerated. We tested it again. So after that year, and it was just as potent as it was when it was manufactured, if that makes sense. So it's very effective. And I think the question becomes, why do I need that much bacteria? Like that's a ridiculously high amount. We really wanted to make a difference right now in immune system health, that's a huge concern. Everybody's, what do you guys have for immune? What do you guys have for immune? Because of this unique experience we're all going through right now. But MBC is huge in terms of repopulating quickly the good bugs in your gut and how much that helps feed your immune system and prevention from oncoming pathogens. When you repopulate your gut with that much bacteria and they repopulate and they recolonize and they grow in your small and large intestine, it makes it harder and harder for invading pathogens to thrive. If that makes sense. So you're arming your body with, and you're arming your immune system really with probiotics. And that's not even bringing up the importance of how much MBC or the probiotics help with your gut, just in general, digestion and helping to overcome underlying gut issues that one may have.
Yeah. I love how much is in stuff, like your therapeutic dose, which is one of the reasons why I've transitioned to using mostly systemic versus other companies that I've seen and used before, is because someone can take one capsule of an MBC and I know how much they're going to get. Whereas in other products, they have to take 10 capsules just to get the same amount that's an MBC. And my rule of thumb is, if I'm not willing to do it myself, I can't expect my patients to do it. And I'm not one to take supplements. I will take things here and there when I need them. But for me to say, to require myself to take 10 pills at a time, I'm not going to do it. I try to keep people at around 8 pills at a time, whether it's broken up between like 4 or 5 different things, because that's, for me, that's reasonable. So if I can do 8 pills at a time and still get that therapeutic dose of, say it's MBC and ELGA and VISTA 1 and VISTA 2 for that leaky gut protocol, I know that I'm still getting what I need in just a few simple things. Whereas I've been accustomed to other brands, and I'm not going to name names, but one of them specifically goes off of the fact that they are whole food ingredients. And they've gone off of, that's all their marketing is I wear whole food ingredients. But it requires 10, 12 adrenaline to reach an adrenal healthy, like to heal your adrenals. Whereas I can use 2 GA and still get the same result. And I'm not going to take 12 of one thing at a time on top of anything else that I have to take. So to me, it's more like I'm not giving somebody this plethora of supplements when I wouldn't take them myself. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's my rule of thumb.
So. No, granted, like you touched on earlier, we were talking about getting all of your nutrients from just food alone, aside from products. I mean, if you could get everything from whole foods, it would be fantastic. The tricky part is when the body needs certain therapies to overcome deficiencies in magnesium or probiotics or vitamin D3, whatever it is, or to help heal the gut, to help with leaky gut, or to help with whatever, there's a point in time where you do need certain therapeutic levels that you aren't going to get in food. That doesn't mean that the product can't be originating from food or from whole plant-based sources. It just would mean that it's not necessarily whole food, because in order to be whole food, it has to be at the exact ratio of nutrients that you're going to get from a kiwi or a banana or a spinach. And so when something is whole food, it can be difficult to reach a high level of a particular nutrient. And so there's a time and place to get that high level of a nutrient to help the body with a certain ailment. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that the product is synthetic. The product can still be a natural across the board product, even though we've formulated it to reach those levels. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Dive into some more about this whole food versus synthetic, because I think from not only from my standpoint, but I've had questions that been asked about, are these synthetic ingredients? And you're talking about an adrenal supplement, you're not going to get adrenal tissue from food. Like, you've got to go through your bovine source or whatever the case may be. So kind of walk us through how you choose the sources and that whole idea of synthetic, because I think it's a negative there's a negative feeling around it when it comes to supplements.
Synthetic really implies that the ingredient is not obtained from a natural source, right? It's synthetic.
Yeah.
It was put together in a lab, and that's where it gave birth. And that it didn't give birth from a food or a plant or an animal or a something, an herb or a root or a leaf. We're getting it from, it's man-made, basically. It's synthetic. I mean, that's really what synthetic would mean. So yes, whole food is from food. That's better for the body than something synthetic, right? Something's been modified highly, like, I mean, there's obviously different substances out there that are synthetic and aren't very good for the body. But in the case of supplements, so like systemic formulas, they have whole food, they have a whole food multivitamin called Spectra One. But basically that's an honest claim that the ratio of vitamins and minerals in that are the same that you would obtain from like these eight sources of fruits and vegetables. So that makes it whole food. And the benefit of doing that is you get like other components from those foods that you don't get in just the vitamins alone when they're isolated.
Right.
So if you take vitamin C all by itself, you're not getting the other cofactors in an orange that also benefit the body. The issue is again, when you're trying to help overcome an ailment, you're trying to help detox the body, if you're trying to help somebody with depression or anxiety or an autoimmune ailment or condition, there's supplements that, or there's ingredients when, and formulas, when you, at therapeutic dosages, you're not going to find that in an orange. You're not going to be able to, it's going to be hard to help overcome or defeat depression with an orange, with certain foods. And so there's natural remedies or supplements that are not synthetic, even though they're not whole food. So they do come from those natural sources, but they've been formulated. So Dr. Morris and other specialists had to decide how much of what goes into these products. We obtain them from, I mean, we got the raw ingredient that's real and natural originally. We found that that's clean, but we combine it with another raw ingredient. We combine it with another raw ingredient, and we're doing that based on what's going to help the brain, let's say. So we put together a brain product, and each ingredient has so many milligrams. But when that's all said and done, it's going to be a natural product, but not whole food, because whole food has to mean that it's basically the same as if you were eating broccoli or a kiwi or a banana or something, getting the same ratio of same amounts that they would give you. But to reach certain therapies, you kind of have to get outside the boundaries of whole food, but you're still not synthetic. It's still very much natural.
Perfect. That's exactly what people are having questions about. And the last thing here, what have you found when people are ordering supplements from places like Amazon and GNC?
GNC and Amazon have good brands. There are products that they have continued to carry, or there's products that have been put up on Amazon that are good, trusted brands that are out there, obviously. But I think with those positives, there's also negatives to be aware of. Because of that liberty in the marketplace, there's a lot of brands that aren't as well trusted and that don't have the good string practices or good lab practices that we've talked about, or may not have the guaranteed potencies. They might, where are they getting their raw materials? Do their raw materials have heavy metals in them? When it's all said and done, when you're putting that into your body, how do you know that what you're paying for is really going to help benefit you that way? Can you really trust that brand? So, yeah, I mean, I think that's what has to be in question when you go not only into a GNC, but maybe even Whole Foods. or maybe even, and I love Whole Foods. I think it's a great place to go, but you need to ask those same questions with their plethora of brands that they're retailing there. Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club. But yeah, Amazon obviously is the biggest one now.
Don't get me started on those other ones.
But I mean, how do you know? And I think the benefit of working directly with you as the practitioner is that you can help them. You can help give them direction. You can help them with a protocol. If they go to Costco, who's going to help them with the protocol? Who's going to give them direction? How do they know that what they're buying is trusted, has the guaranteed potency? Where do those ingredients originate from? Are they free from heavy metals, fungal and bacteria?
The other factor I've seen too is, I haven't seen, like, for example, Systemic Formulas, Apex, Energetics, those type of brands that go solely to the physician, and then the patient has to get them through the physician. They should not be available on Amazon. Every once in a while they go through and you happen to see those, or someone brings it up to you that it's on there. But so, for example, say there's a supplement that we have in our office for $36. Well, it's being sold on Amazon for $182. And I'm not kidding you, I've seen that. So just be aware that just because it's on Amazon doesn't mean it's, one, cheap. And two, I've seen it where I was at a seminar and they were demonstrating what can come in on through Amazon. And somebody had bought a product from another company, not you guys, but they bought a product and they had horrible, horrible reactions to it. And so they sent the product directly to the source, whoever the brand, the company. And they tested it, and the product that was purchased and was not the product on the label. It completely changed what was inside the capsule, whoever they'd gotten it from, this outside source. So what she was taking was not what was on the label and what she thought she was taking. So I've seen that too. So just beware, if you're going to reach out for supplements on those areas, that good stuff can be almost quadruple the price as other places. We've been going here for about 45 minutes, so this is good. I want to start wrapping up here. Do you have anything you want to add real quick, Mike, before I ask you a couple of questions?
Go ahead with your questions.
Okay, so I've had some people reach out with a couple of questions here. Magnesium supplements, specifically when to take. We don't have to get into when, but what are your thoughts on actual pill capsules versus liquids versus things like foot baths and foot soaks and Epsom salt baths? Like, when it comes to absorption, what would be the best route you would say?
I think that if you look at magnesium in particular, I heard good feedback from people in all ways and all routes. They're all, I think the foot baths, and I think that the magnesium creams or sprays and others do have their place in terms of relaxation and maybe to help relax the muscles. But keep in mind, when it comes to magnesium, I think most importantly, magnesium for consumption, whether it's through liquid or powder or capsule, to get magnesium in the body to help with, as a natural laxative that it is, to help with GI health, but also help overcome common deficiencies people have in magnesium, as well as other electrolytes and trace minerals. Potassium, molybdenum, sodium, the list goes on in terms of all the critical minerals. It's going to be hard to overcome as magnesium or a mineral deficiency if you're just using it externally. You do need to consume it internally, whether it's a liquid or a capsule. Either way, capsules aren't less effectively absorbed than liquids. Keep that in mind. I think it's not uncommon for people to assume that a liquid is easier for the body to absorb than a capsule, and that's not true. Even if it's gelatin, gelatin capsule can be assimilated within 15, 20 minutes. If you do consume a lot of capsules in one setting, and we're talking 20, 25 capsules in one setting, they're all gelatin, your body may not have enough protease enzyme to break those down. And so you might have one or two of them come out whole just because of the sheer volume of gelatin you're putting into your gut at one given time. But magnesium, to overcome a deficiency, you need to put enough of it in your mouth.
Internally and externally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And you just touched on this in a little bit, but the next question is undigested capsules in the stool. Is it the quality of the supplement or the body's inability to digest it?
So it could be the quality of the supplement. And I think tablets, like big horse pill tablets, in some cases can be difficult for some, depending upon who the manufacturer is, some to really break that down and assimilate that. But it might be the digestive tract being compromised if you're taking too many at one given time. Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. But making sure that there's enough protease enzyme, that's the enzyme that breaks down proteins.
Right.
So when some people consume one too many pills and each capsule coating is basically a protein, if their body isn't breaking all of that down in one setting, it means that they're probably deficient in protease.
I did not know that. So thank you.
So, but if they're taking a certain brand of products and it's just not, and if it is coming out undigested, then you want to maybe question the brand.
Okay. Last but not least, someone has said they've seen reports of lead contamination in supplements. Do you have any experience or background with this?
Any reports of lead with certain supplements?
Yeah. I've never seen the reports and I don't know what they're specifically talking about, but.
Like what supplements in particular are you in?
Good question. We'll move on.
Well, Systemic does test for, or the Nutribiome Lab tests for lead, arsenic, and other heavy metals for all ingredients. There has been throughout this past year because of Prop 65, and that would be a whole other discussion about Prop 65, which originated in California. Expanded from just where you're getting your water to the supplements industry as a whole. And so a certain law firm group that took advantage. Okay, so what they did is they posted certain supplements of different brands, including Systemic, multiple brands, different products that claiming that they weren't reaching that standard set by Prop 65. But what Systemic formulas can do is with our C of A's, our certificates of analysis, we can show that every ingredient in each of those products passes testing and that it's less than so many parts per million in those heavy metals or that lead, for example. So any and all of those products that this group claimed were out of line, we can prove that they don't have lead in them.
Somebody was trying to make some money at some point.
I think there was Instagram, there was Facebook, those two in particular, they definitely took advantage of, not only with Systemic formulas, but also other companies.
That's all the questions I have for you. So thank you for joining us as we wrap up here. I want to just pose the question as we're ending that when I go to recommend a supplement to somebody, I ask myself this one question, and so should everybody else when they're going to purchase a supplement, no matter what it is. That one question is it helping me to heal or simply survive? So let me think about that. Is the supplement going to help me heal or is it helping me just to survive? And then make your decision based off that. So thanks, Mike, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. If you enjoyed this and you learned something new, if you felt empowered in any way, please go invite three of your friends to come join us. And then meet me right back here again next week.